enjoy the ride. Yeah.
And now more Operation Freedom. With your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham! Talk 1600. Call Dave now at 822-1600. That's 734-822-1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham! Talk 1600. There are several topics I dwell on this show, and there are several topics that always get a tremendous number of trolls come my way to try to blow me smoke about discussing it. And geoengineering is one. I am honored to have, I believe, one of the world's experts in geoengineering, Dane Wigington. Dane has a background in solar energy. He is a former employee of Bechtel Power Corp and has a background in renewable energy. Dane's personal residence was actually featured in a cover article in the world's largest renewable energy magazine, Home Power, and he also owns a large wildlife preserve next to Lake Shasta in Northern California. Folks, Dane put all of his focus, efforts, and energy into the geoengineering issue when he began to lose significant amounts of solar uptake due to the ever-increasing solar obscuration caused by jet aircraft spraying in the skies above his forest home in California. He also noted significant decline in forest health was occurring at his location and appeared to be accelerating. Dane then initiated extensive testing and research into the geoengineering issue, which was commenced and since has been in progress since 2002. He is lead researcher and I encourage you to go to the website. It is chocked full of not just information, but actually factually based documented information. Not conjecture, not hopes and wishes, but not fear porn, but facts. Geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineeringwatch.org. Dane has given his time and efforts and investigated all levels of geoengineering, from stratospheric aerosol geoengineering to HAARP. We've also had Dr. Nick Begich on this show discussing HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. He has appeared in numerous films and radio interviews to educate the public on the extremely dire environmental and health dangers we face on a global level from geoengineering. Dane, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you, Dr. Dave. I sure appreciate more than I can say the courage you have in facing this issue head on. That is, in fact, the largest and most dire untold story on the planet if we look at it mathematically. And this is what the power structure will do their best to hide until the last possible moment, the global climate engineering solar radiation management assault.
So let's define, Dane, every time you come on, we want to do the foundations because, again, the show's growing exponentially. We have tens of thousands of new listeners around the world through the internet, also big group growing regionally. Dane, define geoengineering for our audience.
Geoengineering is a broad term that involves many separate components, but to summarize it, it is the deliberate, aggressive and unimaginably massive attempt to utilize the Earth's climate life support systems in a manner that serves those in power. It's not for the common good, as some in academia would try to construe this, but the attempt to manipulate Earth's climate system. And the latest term that's being utilized, by the way, Dave, Dr. Dave, is climate intervention, because mm-hmm. The term engineering is really too dignified a term because it's a very destructive, haphazard process. So climate intervention is the latest science term, and I encourage your listeners to, again, stick with the science terms. And this involves the saturation of the atmosphere with light-scattering particles, which is part of the specified objective of solar radiation management. But these particles also greatly influence the hydrological cycle. They're very destructive to the ozone layer and obviously highly toxic. And everything they spray at the upper levels of the troposphere is settling down for all of us to inhale here. So, I mean, we're talking about the pharmaceutical approach to planet Earth to utilize Earth's life support systems to serve various agendas. and the ramifications from this cannot be overstated. They're dire beyond belief.
So, Dane, when I was a kid growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, the only vapor trails from planes we would ever see, not vapor trails, but these skywriters would write stuff in the sky every once in a while. Rare events. But if you doubt what Dane is talking about, go outside after the show's over, wherever you live, or tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon or early tomorrow evening, and look up in the sky, and you're going to see, in some cases, it's been described to me by some of our listeners, as a checkerboard in the sky. Dana, many people, the folks that just refused to put their head around this issue will say, those aren't chemtrails. Those are just jet trails from jumbo jets, from military aircraft. They're harmless. They're vapor trails. Educate our listeners, Dane, because if they start talking about this with their family, the first thing, some of their family is going to look at them like, whoa, you're kind of, this is conspiracy theory. This is off. What do they say to their family members to try to convince them to look into it further?
To examine the evidence with their own eyes and their own sense of reason. And this is where our society has largely turned off their own sense of reason in exchange for the official narrative. In the case of what are particulate trails, just as you mentioned, these skywriters, what are they putting up there? They're putting up particulates. And that's what leaves that kind of trail, mm-hmm. in particulate. If someone, you could be in the middle of Antarctica in the middle of winter with temperatures of 70 below with condensation from your breath, could you walk a mile and find a cloud hanging behind you?
No. Nope.
Because condensation doesn't linger in that manner. So we're seeing sprayed particulate trails. And again, this elephant in the room is so glaring at this point. Everything we see in the sky is exactly what's described by climate circles around the globe, by a long list of patents, which we have posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, the intentional obscuration of direct solar radiation by spraying light scattering particles into the atmosphere. And those same elements named in climate engineering patents are showing up on the ground in unimaginable quantities in lab tests we have from around the globe. Every single dot connects. Every circle of academia and the climate science community is discussing this issue. Every government around the globe is discussing it. But none are admitting it's happening. And why? Because the power structure, the media they control, and the circles of academia that are also controlled by the power structure have completely committed themselves to the grand denial of this issue. Because to do otherwise would be to overturn the very structure of society. When populations around the globe realize that their climate weather has been completely derailed for the last 70 years, being ramped up along the way, I'm not saying it's been this bad for that long, but it's been ramped up to unimaginable levels at this point. It's damaged every single one of us physically because we know these particles are being absorbed in all of us. In fact, we're doing testing right now with our plaintiffs for the lawsuit that's pending in the U.S., and every single individual tested is packed full of the same heavy metals named as primary elements in climate engineering patents. So the bottom line is there will be an effort to deny this issue until the last possible moment. And Dr. Dave, if we compare this to the vaccination issue. Mm-hmm. How much data do we have now on vaccinations to prove that there is harm being done, that these neurotoxins of aluminum and thimerosal with mercury are being injected? But we have the whole circle of academia, the experts in the medical field, denying that there's any potential connection. The same comparison can be made to climate engineering. And people would wonder, how can you have so many climate scientists that won't admit to this? Because it's a very, very bad career decision to admit to this at minimum or worse. So we have a very direct parallel in these two arenas where we have whole circles of academia that are literally controlled ultimately by the purse strings. And we know now in the vaccination issue how much we have figures now on how much, for example, the pediatricians are making from administering full series of, you know, those long list of vaccinations now. So we're talking about lots of money involved. We're talking about aircraft manufacturers who build tankers, and they're building them by the hundreds right now, by the way. We're talking about unimaginable amounts of power and money being wielded, and they'll try to hide this from the population till the last moment. But a population, if we have film footage, back to your original question, We have film footage of these tankers spraying at altitude. With nozzles visible, turning on and off, KC-10s, KC-135s, C-17s, that's the end of the argument, isn't it? We have film footage of the crimes taking place up close. Where do you go with that? If people deny that, what do we do?
And these aerosol trails, their compositions are, as I understand it, aluminum, barium, strontium, correct?
Yes, and we see different compositions at different times of year. For example, we have a lot of chemical ice nucleation going on right now. In order to try to mask the full degree of global meltdown, and the planet is in meltdown, that's beyond any rational dispute at this point, but I want to stress to your listeners, it's not about Al Gore, not about carbon credits, both of which are shams. Again, I make that point clear every time, but it's the reality is still what it is, and climate engineering is making it worse, not better, in the attempt to hide it. So conditions we just had here in California, we've been 100-plus degrees for about 3 months in Northern California. We were 105 only a few days ago, and they just put out a winter storm warning in the mountains east of us. Now, how do you go from 105 to a winter storm warning? Because they're chemically nucleating the moisture in the clouds, which dries up most of the moisture. It provides a short-term temporary shallow layer of cool down on the surface because that cold air is dense and it descends. So we see this happening all over. We see these radical temperature fluctuations, and that's why they coined the term climate change and got away from the global warming term, because they knew they did this in 1998. They knew they were going to be causing these radical fluctuations, which we've seen literally 100 degrees to snow in one day. We saw that record in Amarillo, Texas in May 1st, 2013. You can tell I'm not shooting from the hip. I mean, everything I state is verifiable, dates, times, events. So on May 1st, one example, 2013, Amarillo, Texas, 100 degrees on the ground, all-time record height, snowed the next day. How does that happen? Chemical ice nucleation. So, I mean, the weather is so completely unnatural and derailed at this point that few people have any idea the severity of what's unfolding. And to avoid panic, the power structure, and to avoid the liability that's been created from what they've done, they'll avoid disclosure of this issue until the last possible
moment. And, Dane, it's imperative that we discuss this. Who is behind it? Who are the people that are actually calling the shots on this?
Those who print the money. All roads lead back to the central bankers, and the people ask this question all the time. It's a valid question. But ultimately, those are the people who control militaries, thus they control governments. So I would argue, do we have a country with a government, or do we have a government that owns a country? And I would argue the latter is true.
And why are they doing it, Dan?
Well, again, if we compare, for example, what happened in the Gulf of Mexico, I use this comparison often, the chemical Crexit. Those listeners don't know what that was. It's a highly toxic chemical banned throughout the globe, but they used it in the Gulf of Mexico to hide the severity of oil damage from the Macondo well. And that chemical made that spill 52 times more toxic, according to environmental impact reports. But they did it anyway because it helped to hide the problem. Mm-hmm. With climate engineering, it's simply a weapon of power and control, period. There's no benevolence in these programs. So we have 70 years of history showing that climate engineering has been used as a weather weapon. We have Project Popeye in Vietnam, Project Storm Fury. There's a long, long list. So this is a very covert weapon of control. And even in regard to our own population, in California, the drought is horrifically bad. It's much worse than even the media is disclosing. And they literally control our precipitation. We just had a storm move over today, a rainstorm today in Northern California that should have dropped several inches of rain. We got about 0.05 of an inch. Nothing. And all you can hear outside, I live in a remote location, is aircraft over the top of these clouds. We can see their activity on radar. And when you aerosolize the atmosphere, you put too many condensation nuclei, so you migrate that rain somewhere else where it comes down in a deluge. Now, Dave, let's look at the hurricane that's happening right now. Matthew, have you seen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people should wonder, how come the U.S. has had no major hurricane impact for 11 years, all-time record hurricane impact drought, while other parts of the globe are being slaughtered? So now we have a hurricane that's spinning up. It's going to slaughter Haiti, it looks like, and Cuba. But it's not going to come near the U.S., and they won't let anything spin in the Gulf of Mexico. How could we have so many years with record warm water in the Gulf of Mexico without a hurricane? And people might think, well, that's a good thing. They're suppressing hurricanes. That's the planet trying to cool itself, and they're suppressing the hurricanes because they don't want the Gulf of Mexico oil spilled up from the bottom, or churned up, I should say, and they're simply derailing the planet's hydrological cycle in an attempt to cool itself unless it serves some purpose, like slaughtering Haiti and Cuba, or the Philippines. If you remember Hurricane Haiyan in the Philippines, it very perplexingly strengthened to the strongest hurricane landfall ever before it made landfall, cut a swath through the Philippines. U.S. immediately moved in humanitarian aid, started to set up bases, and now do you know what the president of the Philippines is saying about the U.S.? They've had enough.
Yeah, right. He's trying to throw the U.S. Military out, the special forces.
Exactly.
So, Dane, what do you believe are the short and long-term consequences of this program that's been instituted, this geoengineering or climate intervention program?
Let me make this as blunt as I can because we're late in the game. I'm focused on this issue for one reason. I'm not a political activist or an activist of any type. If, mathematically speaking, from all available data we have, if we don't stop what they're doing very soon, mathematically speaking, we're done. The planet won't support life. And I'm not saying that all the damage on the planet is from geoengineering. Not at all. We've been horrible stewards of the planet, period. But when we have climate intervention programs that are destroying the ozone layer, and we know they are, and I challenge your listeners to look this up, by the way. I don't want any of them to believe me. Please look up geoengineering just destroying the ozone layer. Look at the data from many science sources to prove that particulates in the atmosphere destroy ozone. No ozone layer, no terrestrial life on Earth. That's simple. So we have the ozone layer being radically destroyed. We're getting UV levels, UVB specifically, which we're metering. I'm working with a former NASA aeronautics engineer right now on that. But we're seeing UVB levels 1,000% higher than we're being told. These are lethal levels. It's killing everything, including plankton, trees, insects, and it's certainly affecting us. So we have a destroyed UV layer. We have the forest burning to the ground. And the largest single factor in that regard is geoengineering because it disrupts the hydrological cycle. Bioavailable metals are toxifying the root systems. We have the intense UV that's frying the trees from above. We have more dry lightning because we have a more conductive atmosphere. We have less rain for the reasons I already cited. So as a forest burn, that puts more carbon in the atmosphere, settles soot down on the ice that makes it dark instead of white, helps to melt that further. That melts, thaws frozen methane in the seafloor. We have massive methane blowouts happening in the Arctic right now that geoengineering is making worse, not better. We're seeing methane counts at 20,000 feet of 3,000 ppb, 3,000 parts per billion. The highest it's been for the last million years plus is 700 ppb. We're in totally uncharted territory. Methane is 100 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas over the short-term horizon. Bottom line is, geoengineering is tearing the planet's natural life support systems apart, stopping the planet from compensating. So you asked about the overall consequences. If we don't deal with this issue, mathematically speaking, on the short-term horizon, it's game over.
Dane, the next question is that many people are already screaming at the radio. Well, these people that are perpetrating this act on a daily basis, don't they realize they're also killing the same planet that they inhabit?
Very important question, commonly asked, and a question that's used for many people to walk away from the issue because they think they, quote, they, the proverbial they, the central bankers, would never do this to themselves. And I would, again, want to compare this with a cancer. Does a cancer intend to kill the host? No. A cancer intends to proliferate at all costs, and that's what it does. So now we have a cancer of the military-industrial complex, and each part of that cancer is interested in one thing, benefiting what it perceives as its own personal scenario. So whether we're talking about aircraft manufacturers, those who supply materials, those who are involved with these programs, those who are using them for weapons against other countries, which we are doing, by the way, there's no question about that. Every single Middle Eastern country that has been toppled was exposed to record drought before they were destabilized. Is that a coincidence, especially when those countries were named as being target countries by Zabrinsky and Wesley Clark and others? So we have all these people that are using this tool that are unwilling to give it up, that all have their own personal interests. They're all components of the cancer, if you will. And the cancer, if it's not reined in, will kill the host and all of us with it. So at the very top, are some aware of the severity of what's unfolding? Perhaps. But there's too many people too invested in the cancer to let go in their own minds. So therefore, the cancer just is on autopilot almost at this point. Does that make sense?
It does. And folks, for by way of foundation, the way I got to know Dane was actually through an individual who I could consider a military leader who actually contacted me. He was he's now retired from the Air Force, a general. He flew and had a supervisory position in the Air Force with Weather Recon. And the conversation I had with him was chilling. He called me asked me to get in touch with Dane because he felt that he was the leading expert in the world and actually one of the most courageous people that he was aware of in the world. The general went on to tell me that all these folks think these are, quote, jet contrails. They are not. There is no doubt about it. They are real chemtrails, end quote. Folks, I then asked that general, who is behind this? And his answer was, quote, the same group that you talk about manipulating financial markets, Dave, the New World Order group is behind all of it, end quote. Do you disagree with any of that, Dane?
I completely agree with all of it.
In fact, Dane, recently CIA Director John Brennan, it's my understanding from reviewing documents, recently he admitted that chemtrails were an established science and could be used to fight, if you will, global warming, end quote. Is that a misperception on my part, or is that an accurate representation of what he said?
It's what he stated, but again, the reality on the ground could not be further from the truth. The climate engineering programs are being used as weapons, and they are exacerbating an already dire climate meltdown situation. In fact, the single greatest disrupting factor of all, and that's saying a lot. So the bottom line is, however they try to wrap this and sell it to us, it is simply a recipe for certain near-term extinction, nothing less.
Dane, there are some, I believe very few, folks in the government that are of like mind as yourself and the general and many of us that believe that there is something very nefarious going on here. Why haven't there been any whistleblowers to come forward from various governmental agencies to say, okay, this is what's happening? Why are there no Snowdens out there when it comes to geoengineering?
Well, let me answer that. And I just got a message from another potential Snowden, a Navy pilot, that just emailed me in desperation about a week plus ago. He's a Navy pilot and stated he'd already been to congressional oversight and felt that that's what triggered the wheels turning on the repercussions he was now feeling to try to blow the whistle on the climate engineering programs. By the time he emailed me, I got back to him within 12 hours. All his contacts were disconnected. I reached my CIA contact, Kevin Shipp, former CIA decorated officer whom I know, and people can search his name and find out exactly who Kevin Shipp is, verified this individual was who he said he was. Now we can't reach him. Every single fire that starts to burn is immediately put out, and Kevin stated to me that because he went to Congress, that's exactly like going into the den of those behind the programs. All they did was turn him into the military officers that then have apparently put this fire out. Every time we're contacted by somebody like this, the contact is completely severed and from every direction. I mean, we have federal gag orders. Just so your listeners know, there's illegal federal gag orders right now in all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees, and certainly with the military personnel that sign conditions of confidentiality. We're not going to hear from them, Dave, period.
Dane, how can folks follow you? Because it is imperative they do so.
GeoengineeringWatch.org. Full suggestions are there. Activist suggestions. We don't sell anything. We're non-political. We're simply trying to sound the alarm while there's still time to do any good.
I thank you, Dane, for everything that you do and for doing everything in your power to try to open the eyes of the public of what's really occurring in the skies above them. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600.